Mark Steiner, and welcome. Good to have you all with us today on this our monthly community health walk talk.
All right.
And I like to call it. Chauncey Whitehead's back in the studio.
Hey, good fitness morning, Mark.
Good to have you, Chauncey. Fitness professional and owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist. Ms. Ernestine Shepherd's back in the studio. Personal trainer, professional model, world's oldest competitive bodybuilder at age 77.
Mm. Good morning.
Just a number.
That's right.
That's it. And Angela Ginn-Meadow is with us.
Yes.
Good to have you back.
Good morning.
Angela is a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator who is an expert in nutrition specializing in type 2 diabetes, gestational diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and weight management, and affiliated with the Johnson Diabetes Center in Baltimore.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful, sister.
It is.
That's why we're glad to have her, right, Ms. Ernestine?
Yes, we are.
And every month we do this because every month you all have the community health walk.
Yes.
That's correct. This month will be our fourth community walk, Mark, and it will be on November the 30th at 7 a.m. Druid Hill Park by the tennis courts. And we are expecting a lot of people after all that turkey eating.
You had how many people last time?
We had approximately 60 people, and we were thrilled that we had that amount.
Right, because it was 34 degrees outside.
Yes.
And we had men, women, and children.
And children.
Yeah, they all came out.
And we'll see how chilly it is on Saturday. We'll find that out when we get to Saturday. Now, tomorrow is Turkey Day.
Right.
Now, anybody in this group not eating turkey?
I'm going to eat turkey, yes.
I am too.
I'm going to have some turkey, so that's three of us are going to have it.
Four.
All right, four.
All right. Sounds good.
Sweet potatoes?
If they're baked, I'll have the sweet potatoes.
But not candied? And
No.
All right.
I'm going to have sweet potato. Your turn, Angela.
Actually, Thanksgiving has a lot of great benefits because it's a wide variety of colors. And when we eat with our eyes, we are getting benefit from colors. So, you know, you just talked about sweet potatoes,
yes,
or butternut squash. All those are wonderful. They are rich in vitamin A, and they are great for your eyes. If we even have string beans or greens, those things have green, and they actually are great for your heart. So if we eat with our eyes, you'd be very surprised you can reap the benefits. But you want to watch out how it's prepared.
What do you mean?
So,
what do you mean?
Oh, what do I mean?
Yeah.
The preparation of food is really the key to eating healthy. Mm-hmm. So if you have things that are baked or broiled or grilled, those are much healthier than having things fried or have things that are dripped with grease or extra sugar or have marshmallows on top.
All right.
Mm. Have it in its whole form.
So let me stop for a minute. Let's talk about this for just a second in terms of diet and Thanksgiving, because it's a day when people stuff themselves. And between Thanksgiving and Christmas, this is a time when people eat a lot and imbibe a lot of liquor, right?
That's right.
It's the nature of the season. Most people do that.
That's true.
I will do a little bit of that myself. But the question is, when you say what you just said, I mean, it's very hard because tradition is candied sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes. Tradition is to have greens that are kind of cooked, like collards, and other kind of greens cooked to death in the pot, right?
A little grease, a little fat
back. But tasting good, fat back, you know. And all that stuff tastes really good. That's a really difficult thing to break. And maybe people say, look, it's once a year. I don't want to break it. This is my family tradition. This is what I do. This is how you do on that day.
Well, for me, and all the advice I usually get to my clients, it's about portion size. If you don't want to change how something's prepared, you have a smaller plate. And what I mean by that is it may be a appetizer plate versus a large platter of something. But if you say, well, you know what, even if you were the champion at Thanksgiving that brought something healthier, Maybe you roasted some Brussels sprouts, or you tried some different beets, or you brought another vegetable for your family to try. They may say, well, you know what? This isn't that bad. If I baked sweet potatoes instead of having them candied, they may say, oh, this is a natural sweetness I've never had before, and I didn't realize that it could be just as sweet without the marshmallows or brown sugar.
Now, as for me, Mark, it may sound corny, but it's true.
What's that?
I eat the same way day in and day out. I don't care what the holiday is. I have acid reflux, and I have to be mindful of everything that I eat. I don't have food that's seasoned. I don't eat any type of spicy foods. My family knows the way that I eat, so they prepare for me for what I'm going to eat, and I'm enjoying myself just as much as the others. And as for alcohol, I don't drink any of that. I've never done that.
Ever?
Never. And with the acid reflux, I don't want it anyway.
Acid reflux is, so yeah, I have the same.
I do
have acid reflux, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I know that usually when I'm at my family dinner, they look at me and I go, oh, here he comes again. He's going to be talking about eating right and exercising. So it's just like Angela said. So I just try to make a suggestion, smaller portion, you know, a smaller plate. But then, Angela, we get in that problem. What if there are not any smaller plates at the dinner? You know, and one thing I find is excuses that, well, you know, there wasn't a smaller plate, the little brother, that's why I picked this big old plate. You know, so even with the plate, I agree with Angela, colors, if you could tell your family member or your loved one, you know, maybe make your plate a little bit more colorful. Try to at least add more colors, a little bit more fruits and vegetables, or just some easy suggestions, because during that time, and you're a fitness person or a health person, people, you know, say little comments or little jokes,
oh, yes,
and they think you're going to get on them about eating, mm-hmm, and this, that, whatever. Here comes Miss Ernestine. Here comes that Angela. Here comes that Chauncey. And that's not what it's about. We want them to live longer.
That's true.
You know, so I try to beat them to the punch and make a joke in a nice suggestive way about the food in which you could take. So then I could, you know, break the ice and they don't feel like that. And they go, I'm going to eat it anyway. So it's difficult. But, Mark, as you said, between Thanksgiving and the beginning of the year, the eating goes on for like 6 weeks. It goes past Thanksgiving, and that's what we need to try to, you know, bring back a little bit.
So what do you do about that? I mean, so let me stay with the dinner for a moment, then come back to what we do about that and what kind of exercising and what's going to happen on Saturday and what we need to do. Most people are going to eat a lot that day.
They are.
And that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and most people gain up to 1 to 2 pounds over the holiday time. But the caveat of that is they don't lose it
following
year.
That's right.
So all the time that you said, I don't know where this weight came from. It came during that holiday time
where you were
indulging and not staying active. But there's a little couple tips. You slow down. So slow down. It takes about 20 minutes for your brain to realize you're full. The food's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. Make a plate.
Well, you haven't been to my house. It is going somewhere.
Yeah,
I got older brothers.
Take your time. Another thing, make sure that a half of your plate is fruits and veggies. So filling up more of your plate with those low-calorie options is always key. And then also, I always say, try, if you are the person that is providing the dinner, avoid family style.
What does that mean?
Family style is when the food spreads out on the whole entire table.
Okay.
Because when you have family style, guess what? You can say, oh, can you pass me some more corn?
Yes,
oh,
I mean,
the rolls look so good. Oh, can I have some more gravy? But when you serve plates out of the kitchen, you actually eat less because the food is not around.
It's true.
So you don't crowd turkey at the table?
No. And, you know, if you come to my house, we pack everything up. So we make plates from the kitchen, and we actually pack the leftovers up right away after everybody has one plate.
Okay.
Because that, you're least likely to go back.
Fight in my house.
No, but you're least likely to go back and get more and warm it up. And because, you know, it's a mind thing.
That's
during
true,
this
Angela.
Time.
Totally agree.
It's all about the mind.
That's,
you see all the food, you want to eat it all. But if you know that it's not on the table and I can enjoy the company of family and friends more than worry about the food.
Mm-hmm.
We have to really think about what this holiday time is about.
That's true. And Angela, you are also talking about the little walk afterward. Go ahead and talk about that as it relates
to I said the food's not going anywhere. Why not in between time? Give yourself about 2 to 3 hours if you want another plate, but go for a walk. Go for a walk. Give yourself 2 to 3 hours, but go for a walk in between time.
Not a nap,
not
a walk.
A walk.
But you know, Angela, it's amazing that you would say that. I have mentioned that several times to people. They said, well, after I've eaten all that food, I'm too tired to walk. I just want to sit back and relax. And it's most difficult to get them to go out and do a walk.
But even if you have kids around, if you went outside and threw a football.
That's right.
Yes.
Or just got active after you eat. And if you're living with diabetes, that helps with postprandial control. And so all the patients I see, hey, if you want dessert, you have to go for a walk up the block, around the block, something, because this is a way that we can control your blood sugar during the holidays.
And you know, Angela, you brought up the point about diabetes and November being National Diabetes Month, and of course the biggest eating holiday, and it's difficult for, you know, diabetics to control themselves Thanksgiving. You know, what suggestions for the that population during the holidays do you have?
First thing, you eat on time. So you always eat breakfast, always have a little lunch, and have dinner. When you starve yourself, you're going to overeat at that next meal. So you still would have the same eating pattern. You also bring something that will be healthy for you.
Okay.
Because you never know what somebody may have unless you talk to the organizer. So you bring something healthy for you so you can fill up half your plate with more veggies. And then remember your activity and watch out for beverages that may cause spikes in your blood sugar. So watch out for teas and punches, all those things. Try to enjoy some water or sugar-free beverages if they have that option.
Or you can drink iced tea without sugar.
You sure can.
Yeah.
Lemon and tea.
You know, when you go down south, there's no such thing.
I know
that.
So,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sweet tea is
a premium.
I hate sweet iced tea, so I don't drink it anyway. But can't stand it.
Yeah. But those are just some little things that people can do to just kind of stay on track during the time frame.
I'm thinking about what we do just in terms of our daily activity. Most people in our society eat what they eat and don't exercise a lot. And obviously what you said about eating 3 meals a day, and you know, in Europe and other places, the big meal of the day is the middle meal, not the last meal of the day, which is usually, in Europe and other places, the lighter meal. It's a salad. It's
And they usually walk to the market to get it, too, Mark.
Right. So what about this daily exercise? I mean, Ms. Ernestine, you can describe what you do. I don't think most people are going to do what you do, but, you know, I mean, how many miles a day do you walk, run?
I'm doing 10 miles each day.
Running or walking?
I do both, run and walk. And it's just wonderful. It really is. And then with that, I eat 5 to 6 small meals a day.
What do you eat?
Okay. I eat oatmeal. I eat a lot of egg whites. I drink egg whites. I eat roasted chicken, baked chicken, tuna fish, turkey, baked sweet potatoes, brown rice. And I stick to that every day of my life. I do this. And my mantra is determined, dedicated, and disciplined. And that's what I do, the 3 D's. It may sound like a fib, but that's what I do.
That's the truth.
It's not a fib. So let's talk about people who are more like me.
Go, Mom.
Okay, Mom. Okay.
And you know, in terms of, because it's really hard to be disciplined.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, when people you're working in a place, people bring cookies in, people bring pies in that they make, all that stuff is around you, candies around you, which is really unhealthy, especially American mass-manufactured candy. It's this horrible stuff that's in there besides the sugar. Let's talk about how you do that. I mean, in the reality of people's lives and what you think people can do to really begin to change the way we eat without becoming this onerous behavior for most people that they can't put that.
Well, it's difficult, like Ms. Ernestine said, but as a fitness professional and a runner and bodybuilder, I look at the eating kind of the buddy system too. If you can find a colleague or somebody at work that is trying to strive for the same healthy eating that you are, because it is difficult in the real world. The majority of the people at our office space or our workplace, they're not going to eat properly. And I tell people, when you're training with me or you're training with your fitness professional for an hour, it's easy to be disciplined because that's what you're there for. But the most important time is outside of the supervision of your registered dietitian or your fitness professional. So if you can try to stay with people around your workspace that are trying to eat healthier and maybe bring in something, it's difficult though.
All those things, I would say, are trigger foods. Trigger foods are foods that you can't stop with one. Most of my patients
Just about all foods.
No, most of my patients know for me it's peanut M&Ms. So they know I cannot stop with one peanut M&M.
So don't even start.
Exactly. So if you know there's something that you can't stop with one, so a potato chip or a Twink or cake or pie. But if you know you can't stop with one, why bring it in the house?
Right.
You don't buy it.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you, the key about being in an office full of, I say, junk food, guess what? You have to be prepared. So it may be
preparation.
It may be a little package of nuts that you keep at your desk. It may be some healthy snacks that you keep in the refrigerator. But you need to be prepared because temptation, smells, sights, they're always going to be around. But being prepared, eating on time is really, really important to avoid those temptations.
That's true.
So if you were to design a day for somebody in terms of their exercise, and realistic about people, I mean, you and I work out together, Chauncey, and sometimes I, unless I schedule and say, okay, this is the moment I'm going to go work out, and this is on my calendar, and this is part of my day, it's sacrosanct in my day, like any other meeting or anything else that I have to do, then if you don't do that, then most likely you won't do it.
Correct.
Right? So, but being realistic about people's lives and people trying to stay fit and eat right. So what would a day look like?
I would say that depending upon one of the most important things as a fitness professional, I tell people along with safety, is trying to manage your busy schedule. So look at the schedule. As Angela said, we got to stay on time. You got to eat at the same time. You have to have the snacks at the same time. You have to schedule your fitness appointments. And sometimes, you know, I've had to write up contracts that if you miss the fitness appointment, then you have to donate something to charity. You know, somehow, some way, we have to try to figure out a way to make this part of what you do, make it the lifestyle. But you don't want to go too hard with someone too soon, to ask them to drop everything, start eating right, start exercising 3 to 4 times a week. I've seen people maintain that on their own or somewhere for about 6 weeks. And I'm like, let me see you in week 48, which is most important. So, you know, you want to figure out what works for the client, but then also hold them accountable and try to show them that it's up to them to be disciplined. All we're here to do is try to help.
And I was going to say, just being a busy woman, I work 10-hour days, 4 days out of the week, and it's really about preparation for me. So if I'm not prepared, it won't
happen. I agree.
So even from breakfast in the morning, making sure that I know what I'm going to have for breakfast in the morning, making sure that I take time for lunch, making sure I have a snack at my desk for before dinner, because I don't get home until late, and knowing what I'm going to have for dinner. So for me, it may be a weekly schedule that I write out what I'm going to have to eat when I go grocery shopping. So on Sunday when I go grocery shopping, I am prepared. And for physical activity, me, I try to find fun things. So it may be an on-demand video in the morning before I head out the door. It may be dancing when I come back in to listening some music while I'm getting dressed or going to something else. It may be a walk just during my lunch break. Take half my lunch break and go for a half an hour walk and then come back. So it's really incorporating it throughout your whole entire day.
It's true. I believe in making everything fun.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have fun doing it, you aren't going to do it. And then plus, I pick morning time for my run walks because that's best for me. And I have others who will come out with me in the mornings, because if they didn't come out in the morning, then they wouldn't have time to do it any other time. And as you said, preparation, I prepare all of my foods.
That's right.
They're in little glass dishes in my refrigerator so that when I know it's time for me to eat, put it right in the microwave and I eat. If I'm going out, I'm at the gym, I carry my egg whites with me because after a workout, then I want my protein, so I do that. But I don't ask anyone to do the things that I'm doing.
Right, right.
Because I'm to the extreme, I have to tell you that.
And as I piggyback on that, the question mark, and Ms. Ernestine, is that you asked, well, how do you start someone in the beginning? I've said this many times. I usually ask them, what do you like to do?
That's true.
Because if I tell them to do the treadmill, mm-hmm. and they don't like the treadmill, or get on the elliptical as their form of cardio because it's the most efficient, if they don't like it, they're going to do it because they think they're going to look like Miss mm-hmm. Ernestine or myself. If you like the treadmill, then I'm going to show you how to use that treadmill, be efficient with it, and show you the fun ways to use it, and then we can move over to the elliptical. So you got to find what a person likes.
That's
if it's skating,
true.
That's one of the reasons I'm very versatile in all different forms of fitness, jumping rope, you know, mm-hmm. boxing, because I try to find out what you like. You like to hit, Mark, so I let you hit.
Uh-oh. All right, Mark.
I hit the ball. We all know
that. Yes, yes.
I try not to hit you.
Yes, it's true.
I do like punching. I do
yes,
like
you
boxing.
Do. Yes,
I
really?
Do like it. I love it.
Oh.
So let me, what are the kinds of things people can do at home if they can't make it to the gym to keep themselves fit? Because that's also part of reality. What are some things people can do?
Okay, what I have some of my people doing, the ones who can't make the gym. Okay, they get up, they'll do their crunches. You can get on the floor and do your crunches. And then after you do that, you can sit in a chair. And if you don't have any weights, take two bottles of water. Raise your arms up. Get the arms up. If you can do push-ups, do push-ups. Hold the back of the chair. Do your hamstrings doing maybe about 10 or 15 reps of that. It's so many things that can be done. Right. So it's no need to say that you can't do it at home because you can.
And as Angela mentioned, now technology. There's so many instructional videos on demand mm-hmm. that can start and help you from someone that's just beginning to someone
right.
that's more advanced to exercise at home, or even a lot of us are busy and we travel. So I try to make sure I prepare my clients to do a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. how you can exercise in the hotel, because you may have the best plans to get down to the gym, mm-hmm. but it may not happen. Some small compact equipment, if you know how to use it properly, a little kettlebell, 5-10 pound mm-hmm. kettlebell, a 5-10 pound weight, a medicine ball, 5-10 pound medicine ball. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can do from at home or on in a
right.
hotel when you're traveling.
And even I think about some of my older ladies that are at home. I tell them to sweep or vacuum.
That's right. That's
physical activity.
That's it.
And, you know, mop, mm-hmm. Wash windows. All those things are still becoming, they're physically active.
That's
and
right.
you're
true.
More active throughout the house.
I've noticed that's one of the things that you do, Chauncey, too, is to the way people work out is to work out in the rhythms of life and not
right.
things that are artificial.
Right. Functional. Functional.
Functional.
Functional movement and functional exercise. I'm sure Ms. Ernestine and Angela can, understand that. And like Angela was saying, is that I believe in the physical activity that you do during the day is only going to complement
right.
that 1 hour physical session mm-hmm. that you may do with a trainer or when you go to the gym. Because a lot of times when a person exercises 1 hour a day,
mm-hmm.
they call it in running the reward effect.
Yes.
And they get on the treadmill for that 1 hour and they burn 400 calories and they reward themselves with 1,000 because they don't not realizing that they didn't do enough physical activity. And I'm big, Angela, on physical activity during the day, getting up from your office space, sweep a little bit more. You know that corner that you've been avoiding? Why don't you go over there and burn another 10 calories over there in that corner? Just physical activity is so important. That's why I always ask individuals, what type of physical movement are you doing during the day? Oh, you ain't asking about fitness in the gym. I said, what type of physical activity throughout the day? Functional movement.
So, and I'm also curious, before we talk about the walk and what's coming up this Saturday, I'd make sure people get there and know what's going on. I was curious about what kind of breakfast foods and snacks
So,
are you talking about?
So when you're picking something, you want to pick a wide variety of foods. And so you want to choose something whole grain. Mm-hmm. So for your oatmeal, Miss Ernestine's right. oatmeal in the morning, it also you want to choose fruit. You can even incorporate vegetables in the morning with your eggs. Egg is actually a great source of protein.
And
it's not only good for, you know, your hair, but your eyes and also your muscles. Also making sure that it's a little bit lower in fat and rich in monounsaturated fat. So cut out the saturated fat from the sausage and the bacon and add olive oil, add nuts or walnuts to your oatmeal in the morning or breakfast cereal. And then snacks, I say keep it simple. If you could pick it up in your hand and it came from a tree, it probably is pretty good for you. So what I mean by that is making we don't eat enough fruit or vegetables, period. Most Americans don't. So if we can actually incorporate those as snacks more often that are whole foods, you will see the results. And if it's not in a bag that you had to open up, that is greasy, that you need a napkin for, guess what? It most likely is good for you.
All right.
She's being so sweet about it, isn't she, Mark?
That's what you need your dietitian to be able to be like.
Oh, golly. Because what she didn't say is that if you pick it up at the checkout counter, then it's not good for you. She said if you can have it in the palm of your hand and it comes from a tree, but not
like
at the end of the cashier, then it's not good for you because we all know it's usually there, candy.
Yes.
It is. And you know, somebody may say that chocolate does come from a tree. It does from the cocoa, but we don't eat actual real cocoa.
That's true.
I'm glad you said that.
We don't. We eat cocoa butter with some sugar.
That's right.
So but if you do want a sweet treat, dark chocolate would be the best because it's rich in antioxidants.
I could hear someone now saying, well, Angela, before you made that disclaimer, chocolate comes from a tree and I'm going to eat as much chocolate. I'm glad you put that out there, Angela. You stopped it.
It's also the chocolate comes from a tree that's been through in Nestle's
processed,
factory.
Yes.
Of stuff they put through it.
Exactly.
You don't even want to know what's in those.
No.
So talk about Saturday. Where are people coming to? What
well, Saturday we're going to be coming
2 days after
to,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, 2 days after Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing our fourth turkey walk. We're going to be at the Druid Hill Park tennis court area at 7 a.m. We're going to walk 1 mile to 5 miles. Miss Ernestine and myself, Angela's going to join us either before or after the walk to give a few nutritional tidbits. You know, hopefully, Mark, you'll be able to come out and the whole community to come out, right? Aren't you looking forward to Miss Ernestine?
Oh, I most certainly am. This is just joyous. I get emotional when you start talking about walking because I love it and I know it's good for everyone. And, Mark, I want you to know, my fitness son over there, wow, he practices just what he preaches.
Yes, he does.
He does. And I can't say any more than that.
So this Saturday morning
at 7 a.m. Druid Hill Park.
At the tennis courts.
At the tennis courts area. Just look for us.
Be there. All join us out there. It's going to be a great walk. Beautiful day.
Turkey walk.
Turkey walk. Rain or shine.
Rain or shine. That's right.
If it's snowing, well, if you live close, come. If not, don't, you know. But
we'll be sunshine inside. I always tell Miss Ernestine it may be raining outside, but I'm sunny inside.
All right.
Chauncey Whitehead, fitness professional, owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist. Miss Ernestine Shepherd, personal trainer, professional model, incredibly in good shape, amazing human being at 70, 77?
77.
Going on 57.
That's right.
47.
27.
And Angela Ginmeadow, registered dietitian, who works for the Joslin Diabetes Center in Baltimore. Good to have you all here.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Eat well, eat healthy, have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on Public Radio, WEAA. 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.